Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X.
A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way. This a day we owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the past for those who are to come, and then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
They're the progenitors of humanity. They named the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly claim in tribute. That it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must learn is illuminate the path for those who are to come, and then our name will be called in the words of some future song of tribute. Yeah, this is a piece for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who've been here and gone, who faced down the oppression so that our role could be lessened, who help us to know that we are part of the chain of life, and we owe to our children the same thing. We need to show the same stands on, and if we live our lives correctly, we will be blessed to one day be called ancestors. This is a verbal libation.
Yes, whose names we do not know. Habargani, Hotel, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom Alaikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril, and you're listening to The Narrative. And I want to say today is Sunday, September 19, 2021, and we are live today on Blog Talk Radio. Our subject today is going to be on, we're going to start a new series. We're going to call this Let's Talk About Us. And in part one, we're going to talk about business, warfare, and mating today. As every Sunday, whenever our brother can, we're going to be blessed to hear from our brother today, Brother Derek Muhammad. He's going to come and join me and Brother Wiley in the discussion today. And I want to bring my brother up, Brother Wiley. Brother Wiley Muhammad, how are you today, sir? Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, brother. I'm here.
Yes, sir. And, brother, today I'm going to give a brief description on our show's topic today for the audience. And because we have heard this before, We learned it from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you go through Message to the Black Man, he referred to this, and he referred to it as a science. But we're going to be speaking in general today, and as the old saying say, truth hits everybody. So we're going to be talking about business, warfare, and mating today. And this is part one. But the show's description says that the NOI for over 90 years has served as great watchmen and women of the black community and others who accepted our guidance. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 40 years, over the course of those years, taught much truth and shed much light on our wretched condition here in North America. Today's show will focus on three of several conditions that has caused great amounts of failure in our community due to the lack of understanding in the nation and civilization building. The three topics are business, warfare, and mating, part one. Let's talk about it. So before we do that, brother, I just want to say that that beloved brothers and sisters, man, you all gonna have to get busy more than ever before. We're still having seeing that tornadoes and natural extreme weather patterns are still taking place. Just last week we had. It came close to us. I mean, it did veneer off, but we did have a hurricane that came in this area right down here in Texas. And Houston, we didn't get very much of what was supposed to have came through here. And if you remember, brother, they were talking about all week that it was going to rain all week. Man, I didn't know how to see any rain and all week up until this morning. What about you on your end?
Oh, we got some rain yesterday in particular, but we got a little rain during the storm. It hit pretty good, soaked pretty good, but it drained pretty fast.
Yeah, and it goes to show you that the weather people, they just can't tell it straight today, can they? They can't seem to get it right. Now, from what I understand, a tropical storm Odette popped up on the East Coast. I mean, and I do mean popped up. It popped up, but it never went in. Okay, so it went back out into the Atlantic. But now they got Tropical Storm Peter out there. And that kind of looks like he's got some potential. And it is heading towards the west, but it's out there in the Atlantic. And it's just interesting how these things are just being brewed up. And just like we said last week, man, you don't have very much warning. You don't have no 2 weeks to prepare, no 3 weeks to prepare. You know? And so it's very important that some of us get to the point, man, to where, look, man, you got to stop the play. Stop the games, man. I mean, there's a time for play. I mean, I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be involved in recreation. Hell, I'm involved in recreation every now and then. I enjoy listening to good music, and at the time I used to play basketball. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But however, what kind of skills do you have when it comes to dealing with natural disasters? How can you help your family? I mean, how many of you know CPR? How many of you know first aid? And I'm telling you, brother, there's a lot of people that don't. And then you have people in your home that's ill, and you have no skills on trying to help them if something ever happens. This morning, I went from returning a rental car, and on the way back, man, we saw this Spanish guy laid out on the ground, man. And thank God there was some people there calling for him, but it looked like they didn't know what to do. They were just standing there holding the phone. But, you know, you should know what to do in times like this. Maybe he was talking to him. I don't know. But whenever you have situations like that, people in your home that don't even know just basic first aid, then your loved one can just die right there in your home.
That's right.
You know? And then you don't even know how to do CPR, and then you have a baby, and you don't even know how if the baby is choking, what to do. You can't wait on police and first responders all the time, because sometimes those happen in a matter of seconds, and it's going to take them minutes to get to you.
Yep.
You know, so we got to stop these playing all these games, man. Shoot, here we are. Now the hurricane just passed us by, and I can guarantee you that you got some folks, just because they breathing a sigh of relief. That, whoa, boy, we dodged this bullet. It didn't really hit us. And going back to doing the same things that you've been doing prior to the hurricane. Which is smoking, drinking, hanging out, laughing, talking, doing whatever you do. Going back to YouTube and Facebook and whatever. But you still have not gotten in your mindset to prepare, just in case another one would come. What are you doing right now to prepare for the next extreme weather event? And I can guarantee you quite a bit of them ain't doing nothing. but then when the storm comes, oh God, I gotta fill up my tank. Oh God, I gotta give me some food in the house. Why? The Bible says work in the day while you got the day. Because when the night comes, you ain't gonna have that opportunity. So store in your homes, brothers and sisters. Take $5, take $10, $20 every week. Build you up an emergency fund, and do something for yourself to help yourself. Because these storms now, these extreme weather patterns, they're not going away. In fact, they're going to intensify. I don't want to put that out there, brother. Oh, and everybody, support the Final Call newspaper. The only black newspaper that goes out internationally, and the only newspaper that you know that will not fail to tell you the truth. Just as we on the narrative, we will not fail to tell you the truth. And other brothers and sisters that have shows in the NOI, of the NOI, we won't fail to tell you that, okay? So you all, come on now, brothers and sisters. We can only say this for so long. The storm clouds are gathering. The war machines and drum beats are beating. You're going to have to do something to support yourself. All right, brother. we gonna get on our show today, because it's been on my mind all week, dealing with business and just as the call we had just recently, probably about 2 days ago, and the urgency that and where our people set at right now, man, we're in a bad position, man. Period. And it seems as though we still won't. To have one foot in our slave master's yard, and then God, what you want of God's world is on the opposite side, but you don't want to put 2 feet in. You just want to keep one in and one out. That will not work. Not with God. You got to make a decision. Either you want God or you want mammon. Either you want God or you want Lucifer. Whatever name you want to use. You can say either you want Yahweh You know what I'm saying? Or you won't be as above. Either way it go, you got to make a decision. You are in the valley of decision today. And our financial decision is just horrible, brother. It's horrible.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, man.
One thing, if I may say so.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is when we talk about our community in particular, and when I say that, I'm speaking about the black community in general, as
right.
a whole. We are in different places and different states of mind about where we are. Some of us are very aware of the time and what must be done.
Mm-hmm.
But the bulk of us are not. And that group that is not aware is really the group that's in danger. And when I say in danger, that is the whole family. That is from fathers and mothers and children included, as well as, you know, the parents of them, our elderly. They all included in this. Business-wise, we can't wish for money. That just, I want to make it very simple to understand.
Go ahead.
Wishing for money won't get it.
That's right.
Hoping for money won't get it. Dreaming for money won't get it. Money is something that you have to earn.
Right.
And you earn it by working. Now, there are different methods of working. So I'm not just talking about manual labor. That's just one.
Right.
But in whatever you do, you're going to have to be skilled, highly skilled at it, in order to achieve the riches or the wealth that you are looking for. And you're going to have to use your brain.
Right.
You're going to have to be a great thinker. And making it very plain is, even if you choose crime, if you choose crime to make your money, then you got to be a really great thinker because of what you're up against today. The technology
mm-hmm.
that you're up against, you're caught before you even attempt what you want to do.
Right.
You're being watched. Surveillance is on our community 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the highest to the lowest, from the highest is the technology that surrounds the planet. The lowest is those who betray their people, the snitches.
Right.
And all in between. So you,
mm-hmm.
I'm being very plain, very simple, while
yes,
all
sir.
Of us can understand what is being said. If you choose crime, you're going to have to have a very scientific mind, a very mathematical mind, in order to accomplish what you set out to do, in order to make your money, make your wealth, make your riches. you see. So that's where our heads are, is in acquiring money for ourselves that is connected to all of the things that we need to live.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, real good. This is by design. This is not accidental. Right now,
right,
a lot of us depend on stimulus checks and all
right
of this, which is government assistance, state assistance. All of that is still got to be financed. We talk about money.
Right.
So we need to learn as much about money and how to make it as possible, whatever way we choose. We're going to have to be really thoughtful and have scientific and mathematical minds to acquire that. That's
right.
Entails all of that is within the business factor that is part of this discussion today.
Right. Exactly. Because, you know, Brother Farrakhan, he taught in the Time and What Must Be Done series. He made mention about business in there. And he said that business is the engine of life. And what is an engine? You know, an engine in a car, it moves things, right? Well, that's how we have to look at business. And when I start breaking down business, I love going to the root meanings of words, brother. But I'm not just going to the etymology, you know, books. But what I'm doing, I'm taking the root of the word and I'm hyphenating and bringing out the other meanings out just by using hyphens within the word to break it down. And you know, when you define what business is and why is it important to both God and man, one of the root meanings in the word business is busy. No biz, you know, you got biz in ness. If you hyphenate it, you got business, you got busy in nest. So when you put it together, you got busy in home, because a nest is a home, right? So when you look around your home, everything in your home that's there, even up to the declaration on the wall, is tied to a business. It's tied to an industry, everything. The floor was laid, that's a business. The house foundation was built, that was a business. That was somebody's business, right? So everything is tied.
That's right.
Yeah, to everything. Even the totes that you have around your house. Somebody made that tote. It's part of a business. So everything that we have is tied to business, industry, and as you plainly put it, brother, skill. You just can't mold ceramics if you ain't got no skill. That ceramic would look totally disenchanted if some of y'all get y'all hands on it.
Yes,
so today on this business part, I'm going to introduce to some of us, and I'm pretty sure you all never really thought on this, because it was interesting when I started going through it. It is that, you know, and this is eye opening too, brother, because how many times have you really went into the Bible and Quran and asked the question, what occupation did Moses have? What job did Moses have? What occupation or business did Abraham have? and Solomon. So I'm going to point out a few of those today. So we can all see, man, that even though we hear of these great men and women's names throughout history, look, they worked. They had jobs. They had businesses. What is your problem? Yeah, man, I love Abraham in the Bible. Okay, well, what kind of business did Abraham have? What did he do? I don't know. Right? If I ask you, brother, what kind of business did David have? Well, you know, that's something all of us should know. David was a shepherd. You know, he watched flock. But he also was a musician and a poet. But in knowing these occupations, remember, like I heard Brother Farrakhan say this. He says that the prophets represent standards of human condition. So we're gonna explore some of their occupation because I guess some of us think that because we got the Bible and Quran and we learned something new, and we don't have to work, God don't give it all to us. and y'all have heard me say it once before. Even though you found spirituality and you know you striving in it and stuff like that, God will sit there and allow for you to sit there and starve until you get up and go and do something for yourself. Yes, it's true if you get up and take one step, then he'll take two for you. But if you just sit in there reading and sciencing, you taking the way of the grasshopper. You just bouncing around. But don't you think at one point in time that you got to get up from the prayer world, you got to get up from the desk, you got to get up, man, and do something, else your home will fall apart. Because it's like I was saying earlier, your home is tied to a business. Everything in the home, including the electricity, that's somebody's business. So let's get real. Hey, dear brother, you want to add something on to that?
Oh, I didn't know if the other brother was on or not. Yes,
Yeah, I'll let you know when he comes on. You have to call him.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
All right, brother. All right. Yes, you know, keeping it again, very basic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're talking with a brother, gently, what's up, man? I'm handling my business. You know, that
right.
Those terms, I'm handling my business, meaning you're doing something that's earning you something.
Right.
I'm taking care of my business. You're taking care of what? Your business that is producing something for you. Your business is important. You live by what? The sweat of your brow don't mean the muscles in your back. Sweat of your brow. Why would they say brow? Why do you think, where's your brow? Sweat of your brow. That means you're doing deep thinking.
Right.
Deep thinking. By the sweat of your brow, that means you're using plenty energy. When you're using plenty energy, do you know what it calls? Heat.
Right.
And what? You produce sweat in order to insulate it, whereas you won't lose it from your body. So, you know, again, I want to keep it very simple. When we say, I'm handling my business, I'm taking care of my business, I'm doing what I need to do in order to survive and thrive. I don't want to just survive.
Right.
I want to survive. And when I survive, okay, I got that. I don't have to be concerned about the basics. You see?
Right.
But now I want to thrive. Thrive is I want to grow. Because that's what life does. Life grow. That's one of the characteristics and attributes of the living. It grows.
Right.
So I'm taking care of my business that I may enjoy this process of development. I may enrich myself. You see?
Right.
I may enrich myself that I don't have to live by such thing as hope.
Right.
You know, a lot of us live on hope. No, I don't want to live on hope.
No, that's right.
I want to be more in control. I want to be more in control of my life than just living on hope. Even just living on prayer. I don't want to live on just prayer. I want to be more in control than that. Because prayer without work is what?
Oh, dead.
Faith without works is what?
Yeah.
It's dead.
That's right. No movement.
So what I do is I take care of my business. And I live by the sweat of my brow. I do deep thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts I put into what? Action.
Action.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I put them into action.
Right.
You know, I work. I work. I put them into action. And in so doing, it brings me reward.
That's right.
That's what it's all about. And so I don't have to lay around the gate of the rich man begging for the crumbs that fall from his table. And then brag about the fact of what I'm doing, I'm getting over.
Right. Right.
No, man, I can't live like that. Not me. I'm just speaking for myself, not everybody. I'm just speaking for myself. I can't live like that. I think I'm better than that.
Right.
As a human being, I have aspirations, you know, and so I have ambition.
Right.
You know, this I'm going to stop on that point, but let me tell you something. Remember what I told you earlier in the week? No, hell no. We all ain't equal. we equal because we all have an opportunity if we are still sucking in air. You know, if you will, still living, we have an opportunity. But what we do with these opportunities determine the quality of our life.
That's right. Right. You know what? I was listening to Dr. Khaled last night, and he made a statement like animals, between animals and human beings, he said we are created equal, but we're not created equally. And I thought about that. I said, what? And it makes sense because when you start getting into the engine of life, like Brother Farrakhan made this, when you start getting in the moving about, we all don't move towards the same thing. you know, and like animals, they have their own things that they go, you know, move by according to their own nature. But our nature, we're a lot pivotable. We can move with, we can either go to the left, we can go to the right, just like the animals do. However, our decision-making is a lot different from the animals' decision-making, because every time they go left or right, there may be danger sitting right around the corner for them, you know? But with us, at least we can set up barriers. We can build things in order to keep danger away from us, even though it's out there. But yet, you still have the intelligence enough to kind of build the things to keep the danger out. And because look at our homes, everything that we produce in life is to keep us from experiencing the harshness of nature. Because like our homes, you know, who wants to be living outdoors with a mosquito biting you 24/7? You know,
well,
in our homes, we don't be having mosquitoes in here. Although they can come in when you come in, in the door.
Well, what go about, ahead, now, I'm going to say this, and I know it ain't going to be sweet for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, I hear how you thinking when it comes to where you live and how you live.
Yep.
But with others who may not see that and it becomes apparent that they don't, they choose some to live under bridges, to live on curbs, to sleep in the grass, to sit on stones, et cetera, et cetera. So when you go and for them, they choose that unless they have some faculties, you know, whereas they can't see better reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
They can't make better judgment. Then we say what? These people are what? They're disabled,
you know,
or they're ignorant,
would say they crazy,
et cetera.
Yeah,
I didn't want to use that, but I understand we say that in reference to how we choose to live. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
if it's all right with you sleeping on the ground and under a freeway and pushing a basket and bathing in the rain or the bayou, if that's your choice and you making that choice, I ain't got no complaint with you. That's what you choose to do.
Well, you hit it on the head when you say that's your choice. Yeah, that's your
choice.
That's a choice.
It ain't something that have to be, because we've seen many who have chose to do otherwise. And we've seen many who have come from that particular place to much higher ones, who have simply changed their mind, and in so doing, they changed their condition.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think, brother, that those who choose that, don't you think there's a certain level of insanity that is actually there with that, that's attached to it? Because you didn't come from those type of conditions. Even when you were a child, you still had that some form of sheltering that you had.
See, this,
at some point in time.
Shelter is relative, because I can, you know, just say for instance, I got a really nice vehicle,
right?
It's parked, getting fixed or worked on, and there's an overhang on the building where I can see it's not raining. I run over to the overhang And exactly. I get under that. That's shelter.
You know,
I can go under a tree and get in the shade instead of being in the hot sun. That shields me from the heat of the sun. So it's relative when we say things like shelter. But it's something that I choose to do. You see? Even when you go to the animal world, hell, the animal don't particularly like laying in the rain, getting wet.
Exactly.
Certain ones of them. Certain others do. They don't mind because of their temperature and the heat. So it's these kind of things are relative. But when you come to people and we realize we have went through the slavery through slavery and all of its evils, we have had very little choice, but now we do. We can't keep living back in that time and then trying to live in this time with a slave's mind.
Right.
You understand? If you live in today's time and you still have a slave mind, then what do you think your behavior is going to be like? Because how you think is how you are.
Yeah, you'd be out of time, out of step.
So a man thinketh.
Mm-hmm.
So is he.
Yeah.
Or as a man thinketh, so is he. However you want to say it. If you think like a slave, then what is your behavior going to exhibit?
That's right.
Behavior of a slave. And we have a lot of that today shown.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And we say, to get back to business, that's a whole other thing there. But to get back to business is the only way you're going to change your situation is you truly began to take care of your business. And your business is what? What is your business? To improve upon the self.
Yep.
Condition. To improve upon the self condition and thus improve on your family's condition who depend on you.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Now, I didn't particularly speak of your wife, your children, your family. You could relate that as friends, followers, or however. But if you don't show that you can change your condition by what you do and what you think, then why in the hell should I follow you?
Mm-hmm.
What benefit do you offer me? And,
bro,
we being real with this.
Yep.
You know, so we have to look at those kind of things. I am from what is known as the country.
Yep.
You know, and how I grew up, hell no. I didn't want my children growing up that way from a physical thing. No, I didn't want my children having to eat what I ate as a little child coming up. No, I didn't. And they didn't either. They sure didn't eat what I ate as a child. I didn't want them living as I lived when I was a child. It ain't supposed to be like that. The generation is supposed to what? It's supposed to improve.
It's supposed to advance. Yeah, it's supposed to advance.
Advance. If you handling your business.
Right.
But if you're not handling your business, then what? You just have a cycle of repetition of the same thing. And that's what you see going on in our community today. Now, this is not going to be a comfortable this is not going to be a comfortable show for a lot of listeners. But this is why it is a conversation about us, and we need to discuss and talk about us. Well, you said, brother, you know, that's one thing. We need to do that privately. We don't need to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
No, no.
Yep.
No, no. See, I done seen what happened to brothers. I have seen what happened to brothers and sisters who began to talk to us openly.
Right.
Woo! They are stoned to death for it. If they had rocks, if the people had rocks, if our people had rocks in their hand, they would stone them to death.
Yep.
Because they don't want to deal with the truth that they are being told. So they are, our people who are telling us the truth, they're not putting no whipped cream on it. They're not putting no sugar and spice and all of that on it. They're telling you the plain, raw truth. And because, like Jack Nicholson said, the movie, you can't handle the truth, you want to kill them for it. You see what I'm saying? So they got to run for their life. They got to dodge. They got to dodge your madness, your insanity, in order to live long enough to keep putting this truth out here until enough of us hear it, realize the importance of embracing it, and change our life and change the condition of our community.
Because, and that's so true, because that's the thing, man. Here we are, we, according to the recent numbers that I came across, black people, man, at one point in time, we had $1 trillion in spending power. Now we up, brother, it has increased to $3 trillion. And look at our community. It don't show, do it? And I drive around, brothers and sisters, and I go into our places, especially like in the Houston area. Man, the same way I remember some of these areas being 10 years ago, they are still 10 years, looking like it's still back 10 years ago and getting worse. You go out in some outside of some of your areas, like I never forget because I was doing Uber and Lyft at one time. I dropped a person off or picked them up, and when you go out, and this is in the Martin Luther King Boulevard, which is every black community, no matter where you're at in the world, if you see Martin Luther King, you want to know where black people are? Go to Martin Luther King Drive. Brother, it seems like the same condition that the Martin Luther King Drive are in Houston. You go to Dallas, it's the same damn thing. Black folks, man, have not advanced in their living areas at all. Anytime you go to any place, from even you go to Indianapolis, there's a Martin Luther King there. You go to Chicago, there's a Martin Luther King Street there. You go over there and watch and see what you say. You say, like, damn, I should never left Houston because the same conditions in Houston is the same conditions in Chicago, Indianapolis, Dallas, no matter where you go. And what is that a bearing a witness of? It's just like the homeless person that's out there. What is that a bearing a witness of? It's a bearing a witness of exactly what's going on in your mind, in your head.
Yeah,
how you think.
That's right.
It's ugly. The truth is ugly, and that is an ugly truth. But look at how you live.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, because when I'm
saying,
brother, yes, sir.
Go ahead. No, Please, go ahead.
Oh, you know, because what I was saying, brother, is that when I dropped this person off at their home and drove out, across the street is a little lot. And there, I don't even probably have to even tell you what was there. Tires. Tires, mattresses, old clothes. And this is all over where we reside. Ugly, bro. Go ahead, Brad.
it's just what it is. You are the way you think.
Right.
You are the way you think. You are what you consume. You got to look at this. So when you look at what we consume, is the worst of everything.
Right.
And how we think.
That's true. Yeah.
And how we think reflects that in our behavior.
Right.
You see?
Right.
Thinking produces behavior. You can't get away from this science.
That's right.
So when we look at our communities and we see the condition that our community is in, it's easy to read the people with people who are wise enough to understand that you are what you consume.
Mm-hmm.
And your behavior is reflected as a result of the way you think. When they look at our communities, they're able to make judgments about us, legitimate judgments about us.
Right, right.
See, and so just as we produce these places that we live in, we can also destroy them and build better places to live in. But that
right.
would have to do with a change of mind.
That's right. That's right.
Change your mind and you change your behavior. You
right.
change your way of thinking. And so as a result of that, you can't change your mind if you keep consuming the worst of everything. That's what a hog does.
Yes.
You know, that I'm being very simple and very plain. We are not scavengers.
Right.
So if you just consume waste, filth of all kinds, and when I'm speaking on three planes. Physical, mental, and spiritual as you know it. So hear me on all three. If you are consuming the worst of everything on a physical plane, then it's going to affect you on a physical plane on your body.
That's right.
If you're doing the worst, if you're consuming the worst knowledge on every plane,
right,
it's
right.
going to affect you psychologically, mentally.
Exactly.
And
right.
you're going to exhibit this, and same thing spiritually. And you're going to exhibit this in your behavior.
That's right.
So now this is when it gets really heavy. Not only you will, but this is another taboo subject. See, these are taboo subjects that our people don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
They do not want to deal with this. And that is when it comes to producing offspring. When we produce an offspring, and we began to feed this offspring, the same that we consume, then what is your expectation from that offspring as it grows and matures on the same filth and evil and indecencies that we consume?
Right.
On all three planes. What then you are doing what all life form do. And you know what that is? You're reproducing exactly what you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then when our children began to exhibit this behavior, we say, oh, my God, where is this coming from?
Right.
I mean, and you do not take the responsibility for that which you have done.
Right.
Because you don't see anything wrong with what you're doing.
Yep. That's right. That's exactly right. Bro Wiley, you still on?
I'm here.
Hello, bro. There you go. Yeah, because I can hear you first.
Oh.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right, brother, because I remember this young man, I mean young boy. The parents or whoever this was filming him, and he talking about women. Now this is a child now, a very young child. Talking about women and how he controls the little child. So I said something. I told him that. I wrote him and I said I come in it. And I said that this may look cute now, but when that child get older, you're not gonna be able to tell them that. So a younger person gonna try to write me, and said that I don't understand the dynamics of black family dynamics. So I can take my religious stuff on, you know, like down the hallway.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I said to that young lady, I told him, well, I'm a father of four, and none of my children I would allow to act in that such type of manner. And it seems to me that if this is what you see as being just good, clean fun, then contact us in a few years when your child grow up to call you, excuse me, everybody, but call you a bitch. Call me, I mean, or respond back to us in a few years when your child is not listening to you and leaving out of the house all types of night at hour, and worse yet, coming in after 2 a.m. See, you don't know what you're talking about because you're young and you don't even have those type of responsibilities, nor have you ever probably raised any children before. So call us then, and then let's see how you fare in a few years. She never responded back. But our people settle for stupid stuff like that.
Well, I guess it's because we from the East. This is my joke on that. I guess it's because we from the East and we like to live in denial.
Right. Exactly.
You know
exactly
what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, we don't want to deal with this, man. Because it demands something of us.
Right.
It demands change. If we want better, then how are we going to get that without first bettering ourselves? And how are we going to say we want better and refuse to be better? See, this is, look, blacks in this country. I mean, say, excuse me, not blacks. Blacks have culture, and they have refinement. It is the Negro that don't have culture and refinement of their own. No, this is what I say, of their own. So when you ask today a Negro, what is your culture? What they begin to tell you is the fruits of living in America amongst a beastly people. Because first of all, it was a death sentence for you to practice your culture when we were brought here. That had to be done away with. And you say, well, back then, no. Not just back then. The same principles are working today. That's
right.
Why when you come to America and you're sworn in and you go through that rite, you know, you have to do what in American culture? You have to give up your own and you have to assimilate.
Right.
To American culture. To
That's
prove
right.
yourself worthy, which is to be trusted
right.
by the Americans in order to be here and enjoy the life that Americans enjoy. You have to
right.
give it up. That's why that's why just when you see Hispanic people on a job
yeah.
and how they get reprimanded for speaking their language.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, you can't do that. Now, what do that
That's
sound
pretty,
like?
Yeah. Exactly.
You used to would be beat. You used to be beat. So this thing is so deep, brother. It's so deep. I beat you for speaking your language. That's what Coochie Kitty and
language.
All of that was about.
Yeah.
I beat
was.
You for speaking your language. I beat you if I catch you worshiping your God, your religious rights and ways.
Yeah.
I beat you for that, or I horrifically punish you in such a way as to discourage the rest of your people from doing so. I create
mm-hmm.
enough fear. Check this out. I create enough fear whereas you're scared to do it. And
right.
what, as a result of it, you love your babies, right? That's what you say.
Oh, yes.
You want to keep them alive, right?
Right.
So what you began to teach your babies is white culture, beast culture.
Yes. Yes.
In order that they may survive among the beasts.
Yes.
Because if you get caught teaching any other thing than that, they're going to kill you or they're going to take your babies and sell them off. You understand what's going on? How deep this is.
Oh, yeah.
And so as a result, your culture was lost. Your culture was lost because generation behind generation was not allowed to what? Pass it on.
That's right.
So as it's not being passed on and you have to be able to communicate with the life that is around you in your environment, you have to use what method you can, and what is permissible is
mm-hmm.
what? The way of the beast that you live amidst.
Oh, yeah. And I bear witness to what you're saying because I used to stay next door to a Spanish family, and he actually said that to me. He said I chose not to teach my children the language
because I did not want them to go through what me and my wife went through, because we couldn't speak the language when we first got here. And yeah. I was saying to them, well, you know, golly, you know, why would you not teach them the language? I mean, because then they can use that too as a benefit, you know. I mean, because everywhere they looking for bilingual people. And then you chose not to choose, you know, not to teach your children the language because, you know, because I guess it's kind of like you say, the beast kind of had that foot.
If they were caught speaking you know, the language,
yeah.
they would make them pay for it. Like things
yeah.
like, well, what we're going to do, since you seem to be hard-headed,
right.
We are going to send your parents back to Mexico.
Yep.
And you won't
exactly.
have anyone to oversee you other than one that abides by our rule. You see, a
right.
Negro is more than just a black a black face or a black-skinned person. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
A Negro is any group, society, ethnic group
mm-hmm.
that adheres to that particular doctrine.
Right.
Because the same happened to them. It ain't just us. There are so many Chinese who can't speak Chinese, it ain't funny.
Oh,
they
yeah.
can't even relate to their own grandparents.
Right.
They got to have somebody who speaks both to be able to communicate with their grandparents or their ancestors. They don't know the tradition
born here.
And the traditional values of
yep.
their own heritage. We're not
That's
the
right.
only one.
That's
they,
right.
The Mexican Americans just had something here in Houston to try and connect a lot of the young Mexicans to their heritage. Because
mm-hmm.
they know it's being lost from and through assimilation of the American way and culture.
That's right.
The more you assimilate the life and way of the enemy, the more you become like him. And
yeah.
in order to do that, you naturally began to distance yourself from anyone who don't do the same.
That's right.
So this is why the Negro and the black man or woman is different.
Right.
They're different.
That's right. We are definitely different, man.
And I would
no
tell
joke.
You flat out right. The God
yep.
did not come here to save Negro, because Negroes is made, it is a product
mm-hmm.
of slavery and white America. The Negro is given an opportunity by God to change.
Right.
But if he refuses or she refuses to do that, then they are not the friend of God. They are the enemy of God. And that is a
mm-hmm.
place that I know I wouldn't want to be in.
I wouldn't want to be at either.
And that's the truth. And I know it. Yeah, one of
yep.
these things. Yeah. That's the truth as I know and believe it is to be.
Well, I think we all know it to be the truth, man, because look, you know, whenever you eating on bad fruit, you will know it. You know what I'm saying? You will have a reaction, and if things around you and you can't find yourself existing in peace, then you know something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong. And you don't feel satisfied, that means something is wrong. And even though conditions may improve around you, you still feel out of place with the condition. So something is wrong, brother. And you know, like I say, this is going to
probably make some people warm, but don't get warm. Go get you some ice cream. You know what I'm saying? Go get some ice cream. Go get something to cool yourself out and listen to reasoning, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had told us that at some point in time, Allah is going to make conditions so bad to where you're going to want to change. You're going to want to. This is that time that we're living in. He said that this place is going to hit a universal change when it hit 100% dissatisfaction. Are you dissatisfied with this? Hell, I am. and if you are satisfied with this, then you on the other side of the devil, because the devil dissatisfied with it.
Well, it's just what it is, brother. Right now, it's getting there. See, what our people don't know, and other people don't know, you know, the last destruction of this cataclysmic scale was by water.
Oh, yeah.
This one is said to be by fire, right?
That's right. That's right.
The world is being warned now by its top scientists. Its top scientists. What are they spreading and warning the leaders of the world today? You better stop doing what you're doing, because you are the cause of what? Global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Warm is a state or degree of temperature, is it not?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So as the temperature becomes warmer, it gets to a place next where we say, what? Ooh, it's hot. So we left the state of warm and we moved to the state where we saying it's hot. Hell, it ain't warm, it's hot. It is because of what God is doing. Yeah, it's getting hot in here. It is because what God is doing, he is increasing the heat.
That's right.
And increasing the heat, boy, you talking about movement occurring on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's real hot, boy, you trying to get cool. And so as a result, not only that, you see indications worldwide of the heat and what's happening.
Right.
Things are beginning to melt. What the hell do you think going to happen when all this ice melts?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen with the waters of the ocean, the seas, the rivers, the lakes,
right,
the ponds, the creeks, the bios? What's going to happen with these waters, man?
Right.
Boy, you going to see something happen. What? And then as a result of these waters getting hot, whoo, what you think going to happen with them hurricanes when they hit this hot water? Jesus
right.
Christ.
Right.
Where do they get their fuel from?
Right.
How big are they going to be?
Yep.
Huh?
Woo! That's right.
You better look. I know you don't believe. I already know you don't believe, because if you did, your behavior would bear it. So if I can see that you don't believe, what do you think God sees?
Right.
But he said, what? Every knee shall bow and every tongue would confess.
Right.
There is no God but God. You hear what I'm saying?
That's right.
And he got power over all of this. He's going to increase it. When you become so uncomfortable, it's going to be so unbearable to live, you're going to want to die. You're going to beg for death. And he said he will keep it from you.
Yeah,
that's
really
tasting of hell.
You keep it, you keep death away from a person. Shoot.
Yeah.
Man, that's torment.
Look at them fires over there on the west side of America. They not only on the west side of America, folks. They all over the world.
That's right.
Look what they did over there in Australia. Look what the fires did. Boy, you better wake up. You ain't got much time.
That's right. That's just a game, bro. And you know, even though, y'all, we talk about, we still on this business thing, because even what he just said, man, there's even the opportunity for business in that. Because, see, business people, they think a lot different. You know, they're not just wallowing around saying, oh, the doom and gloom. No. Quite to the contrary. Because they looking for, you know, now, you know, they're going to need these trees after the tornadoes knocked it down. They're going to need them cut in half and pulled out of the yards. They're going to have their homes repaired. You know, they're going to have their roofs redid. See, that's our business mind thing. Despite that, with all of the disasters that's taking place, the business minded person, he's looking for a way he's looking at it as an opportunity.
Yeah, to make construction out of destruction.
Exactly. That's a beautiful point. Construction out of destruction. Since you see that your home is in shambles, since you see that your own personal life is in shambles, you see that your finances is in shambles, and you see that the things that you need to be replaced. Stop going alone to get along with all that. Change it. You see that you see your car is acting up. And the car is on its last leg. Even the car telling you that it's tired. You know, whenever you cut it on, brother, and you get the... The car is telling you, I'm ready to retire, and you still trying to keep me going. But you know, brother, the interesting thing, I want those of you who are hearing this and you starting to kind of look at it a lot differently. I'm gonna go through this small list for you all and let you know, man, that the life of the people then is still the same life now. It's just what you done just done, you just have advanced. You're supposed to advance per every generation. But let's go back to Noah. Noah was a farmer. That's what he was. When you talk about those of you who read the Bible, when you talk about Adam, what was Adam's first job was to do? Was to till the ground, right? So therefore, if farming is an occupation, then the very first man that was on this planet had to farm, had to learn how to till the ground. Okay, so farming is nothing to look down on or run from, but a lot of us, man, like you say, brother, like you being in the country, shoot, most country people, they run from the land. They don't want to go back to that.
They don't want to go back. You know why?
Oh, shoot.
If we call it this, that goes right back into another one of them signs. Amalgamating with the beast.
Right.
Amalgamating with the beast, rather.
Right.
It destroys your humanity.
Oh, I bet. Yes, sir.
And you become weaker. when you become weaker, you become more open and receptive,
right,
to his influences. He's not trying to make you strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the hell he going? He can't. He not trying to make you strong. He's not trying to
right.
make you wise, but weaker.
That's right.
And that is showing up too. I really, I mean, these are subjects that just real. You
yeah,
check,
it does
you
show
check,
up.
You can see it is showing up in our behavior as well. You know,
yeah.
since we lack athletics, we beginning to lose ground, not gain ground.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to tell you something. the more we indulge
right.
with them, we get weaker and more receptive to their persuasions and influence. We began to, it's okay, what they call look the other way,
mm-hmm.
sniggle and grin.
Yeah, yeah.
And because you get a chance to go to all of the parties, when you're like him, you get a chance to see what he do in private.
Yeah.
Because
no,
you're part of it.
Said. Yeah,
because you're
yeah.
part of it.
Yeah.
Why does the devil keep our people apart from his social equality? Go look
mm-hmm.
at that lesson, and it'll
yeah.
tell you.
And it'll tell you straight up.
Tell you straight up.
Yeah,
in
you
all of their affairs.
Yeah, exactly. Because
not
they
in Trump, in all
brother.
Of their affairs.
Yeah. They had all they are kind of revealing what they're doing. What they're doing. And the grit. Some of you guys be doing.
You're kind of
yeah.
breaking up.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not surprised if it's breaking up.
Just
because the truth is getting too hot. See, even I, that's
yeah,
the reason
I can.
Why, man. It's just interesting how this is going on now, because once you get it too hot and you start revealing some of the so-called social equality, you find out, man, that now you have become just like them. You know,
hey.
And what's a Negro? A Negro is a black man without an identity, right? So therefore,
yeah.
you are his Frankenstein. He's
yeah.
making you.
It,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like this. If the beast can get you to accept that which God frowns upon.
Right.
Then you are more susceptible to his persuasion and influence.
Right.
And you are less receptive to God's persuasion and influence.
Mm-hmm.
So then you began to live more like the one that influences you.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
so as a result of that, your ways and, as we say in our lesson, your ways and actions are like the snake of the grafted type.
Uh-huh.
See, it distinguishes something here. It says your ways and actions are like. It means if they are like, it means naturally you ain't one of them.
Right.
But if your ways and actions are like the snake of the grafted type, which we know is the white man, then that means your behavior is
reflecting the same behavior as his. So don't expect for me to wrap my arms around you as brother, as sister, when your behavior is reflecting that of a devil's.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just look, let me tell y'all something. It's one thing, and it's very simple. Look at here. Ain't nothing been left out. The messenger, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, he covered all that God wanted him to cover, and he equipped him to do it. Ain't nothing left out. Don't think.
Yes,
I don't care where you go. You come at me like you want to come at me. You'll find out. Okay. Rest assured, God qualifies his to do whatever he wills them to do.
Right. Right. And I tell you, bro, man, nowadays, man, it's not too feasible to try anything like that nowadays. And there's always a threat out there whenever it comes to those who are willing to stand up and tell the truth. But man, I'm seeing it nowadays, man, that when you talk about the dare of God. Man, it seems like every truth bearer now is becoming like that what was that, a she camel in the Quran where it speaks about God and told the prophet to tell him, man, look, do not touch the she camel, because the she camel was unlike any of the camels around. You know, it was different. It had a different color, different texture, everything. Just flat out different. And he was told, do not touch him. So the hard-head ones decide to go ahead and string the sea camel up. And then that's what it says, that they all laid motionless. So, see, it's the leadership that can sentence the people to death. Because they were told not to do
what
it.
What belongs to God?
Yep.
It's like pressing a nuclear button.
You ain't
listen
lying.
To me close. What belongs to God in trying to harm it is like pressing a nuclear button.
That's right.
The destruction is so vast. And so even the devil don't want that kind of destruction.
Oh no!
Even you're even warned in the Bible, in the book of the Christian, about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, "You would be better at the bottom of the sea with a millstone tied around your neck than to harm the least of that which belongs to God."
Mm-hmm.
You know what a millstone is?
Oh man, I know one thing for sure is heavy.
They tie an oxen to them, or mule, and they have it pulling it around in a circle, crushing grain.
Right.
It's a very heavy stone, and if you got one tied around your neck, you sure can't swim.
No, you can't see.
That's why it says you will be at the bottom of the sea with one tied around your neck. So that's a way of telling you. That's a way of telling you how thorough the God is with his work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a lot of disbelievers who just don't believe. Well, you know who they are. You know what they do? They're the ones who push the button.
Yep.
So the beast himself, I'm going to tell you something. The beast himself
will cut them off from that.
Right.
It ain't that he like us.
That's right.
It ain't that he like us, but he likes the time that he have.
Yes.
He likes the time that he have, and he don't want it cut shorter. And everyone you touch now, every button you mash, shortens his time drastically.
That's right. That's right. And I tell you, man, and you can see it's happening, man, because the fire that we're looking at, now, brothers and sisters, it did say that this judgment would not be done by water, but it would be done by fire. And then it also says that in the scriptures, it also says that the fire, it, the fuel for the fire is men and stone. and wood. So better be taking heed to that. All right, brother, I'm gonna share some more. Abraham was a businessman in the cattle industry. He owned livestock and he employed herdsmen. Okay, there go cattle. Brother, sister, there's an industry in cattle. Don't you know that one cow at the time, I don't know, it'd probably be a lot more than that now, but one cow, if you own a cow, it costs $50,000 for one cow to sell a cow. And according to what I understand when I was in an FHA class, Future Farmers of America, FAA, whatever they call it. But anyway, Future Farmers of America class I was in with a student once, and the instructor was saying that there are 10 known industries connected to that one cow. And you sell a cow for $50,000. Can you imagine if Abraham had an entire cattle industry? Of course he was wealthy. By today's standards, And back then, even though the economics was being doled out differently in terms of value, during this day and time, 100 herds of cattle would land you well over $1 million in our day and time. So that's one of them businesses you all ought to look into because. Because with cattle, you can sell a hide. The hide is made to make shoes. Some people use one of these bones from out of the cow, and they use it to make canes and walking sticks from. You know, you make clothes from the hide. There's all kinds of things you can do. You sell the meat. You know, there's things to do. Just something to think about. Okay, what yeah. now? Here we come with Moses. Moses wasn't a businessman, so to speak, but he had a job. Moses was a shepherd and a groundskeeper. You see, the reason why I'm sharing these with you all is to let you know no matter what discipline that you're at right now or working in or what kind of business that you have, God finds men like this. God finds women like this, and he uses them. And you are no different. Even though we in 2020, we may live in a habitation of devils. And let me tell you something, black people, especially those of you who want to be so religious, so wrapped up in Bible, wrapped up in Quran, that didn't say just anybody. That says all that live within you, a habitation of devils within us. So before you got to be who and what you are now, just remember where you came from. Because it don't speak about North America as being the land of the saints. It don't speak about America as being the land of the saints. Yeah, we in here. We in here, but we all didn't come from saints. It means from the very beginning. So don't get mad at us, because we're going to do, like I say, these upcoming shows, we're going to be doing some straight talking here. And hopefully, you know, you take what you hear. And we allow for you to call in, man. We give numbers out, and if you go to the website, you see the number. 914-205-5519. It's up to you to call. There's no compulsion with us. If you enjoy what you hear and you know this the truth, then you know, hey, we happy to have you. But if you want to call in opposition, hey, I welcome that too, because all of us have to grow. We all didn't come up out here in holy cloth. Hell, the scriptures and the prophets, they call this place hell. And that's where we at.
Simple as that.
Look at this one here, brother, Solomon. You know, Solomon was a king. But Solomon had several business ventures. And check this out, in trade and commerce. Why do we keep running away from trade and commerce? And then he had ships that was picking up just like you have shipping that does today. And he was trading with other countries and land. That's where his wealth came from. Go ahead, brother.
The messenger said, qualifications is a must. If you got a brother, if you got two brothers standing here, and one is a pilot, he knows how to fly planes.
Right.
And the other one is a good brother, but he don't know how to fly a plane, but he is a good Muslim brother. I'm using us.
Right.
And the messenger say, I need to fly from Chicago to Texas.
Right.
Do we have a pilot here? Well, the pilot got the brother. He's a good brother, but he ain't no pilot.
That's right.
The one that's the pilot got to step up.
That's right.
Brother, look, the conception that we have of the end is contaminated. The end is not going down like many people believe it is.
Yep.
It's a very natural occurrence. It's not something designed by Hollywood.
That's right.
It is a very natural occurrence that will occur over a period of time. The messenger said, if the God destroys America tomorrow, we have to eat today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's a metaphor.
That's right.
If regardless of when he collapses this country, and that's going to happen, in the meantime, we have to do the things that are necessary to stay strong, healthy, wise, and prosperous.
That's right.
You understand?
That's
so
right.
A lot of brothers may be sitting and jumping, man, I'm the destruction is here. I ain't got to do nothing. I can see God destroying white folks. No, brother. You finna go hungry.
Yeah.
And your family is going hungry too.
That's right.
Because what you are talking about may not, and I said may not happen tomorrow.
That's right.
It may happen 10 years from now, when he collapses,
right.
It may be 20 years from now when he collapses. But I can guarantee you one thing. It will be within the time that he has set to destroy it. And he said, this is a time of 390 years that this destruction will be going on. And it will take 610 years for conditions to change to a point where we can begin to start anew.
Right. Right.
You understand? He said precisely 390 years to destroy it with fire, 610 to cool off is the word to you. To cool off. So that's a fire that's so hot, it will take 610 years for it to cool off. Now, I give it to you like that. You go and figure out what he meant by it. If God enlightens you, if you are one who was meant to be enlightened on this subject, you take it. And may God, or may not, lead you into the light of understanding of what the messenger told us. You understand? So I would encourage you in the meantime to learn as much about business as you possibly can.
Right.
And learn as much about warfare as you possibly can. And learn as much about proper mating as much as you can.
Right.
It took proper mating to bring the devil from the original man to where he is. And that took a period of what?
600 years.
So we're still talking about similar figures. 600 years.
Yep.
To get him to where he's identified as the white man.
Yep.
So when you understand these kinds of things, then you may look at what the Muslims are saying, and it may not look so way out or so far-fetched from you. I'm telling you, boy, you better learn as much. Our problem, because we have not learned enough about business, we suffer greatly. This is how they take our land from us. They take our homes from us. They take our goods from us. They tax our services with so much that we make very little from it. And they freeze us with tax brackets.
Right.
Whereas we cannot grow. So it is a great need in our community to study and to learn business.
Right, right. Exactly. Great teachings, brother. Great teachings. and you know, brother, getting back on the list, I came across Job, right? But you know something?
Yeah.
I could not find a business or occupation that Job had in the Bible or online, but it speaks about Job being a wealthy man, and you know there's no indication on what business that he had, and because remember, it says that when Job finished going through the afflictions and stuff that a contract was made on him between God and the devil. And then it says that God was going to return everything that Job had lost. So he gave Job great wealth. So that means that Job must have been very wealthy at first. And then he ended up losing his family. Yeah, but I kind of looked at it as awesome. Well, maybe there's a metaphor going on here, because look at the name, Job and Job. You know what I'm saying?
You know he wasn't doing nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what kind of hell are we all suffering at our job? You know what I'm saying? And what a kind of affliction and things that you're losing in the jobs that you work, in the life that you have.
Let me say one thing about Job
is this. Job was so loved by God.
Yes.
So loved by God that God said there is none in the earth more perfect than Job.
Yes.
He's an upright man. You know, these things need to be studied more.
That's right.
You know, and when God thinks of you like that,
right,
you know, your wealth is nobody got none that's greater than yours.
Come on.
Because you got access to it all.
Right, right.
Job had the favor of God. And when you got the favor of God, you got access to it all.
Right, right. Let's see. Next on the list, Isaiah. Isaiah was a writer. Isaiah writing manuscripts, he was doing it for other people, I'm pretty sure. But that's what he was. That's what his occupation was. He was a writer. Jeremiah, there was no mention of him, of what he did. So I had to skip over through him. But coming to Joseph was a carpenter. But then it also clearly stated that Jesus, Joseph's son, was taught carpentry by his father. So Jesus was a carpenter. Even Jesus, man, had a job. He created
he
a job.
A skill.
He had a skill.
He had a skill.
I was sitting around.
You know.
Go ahead, bro. You finna make a point. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, generally, we say back in the day or in those days, children, like sons, they took on themselves the works of their father.
Right.
Yeah, because at that time, young men, they spent time with their fathers, and their fathers taught them their craft. They worked with their fathers, and their fathers taught them the craft. He passed down their craft to their children.
Right.
And this is how they got these crafts.
Right.
It used to be, see, now you're talking about the culture of black people. You see, we have to really get back to our culture. And getting back to your culture, you got to know which direction to move in. This is heavy science. You gotta know where to turn in order to get back to your culture. And when you look at culture and what culture is. It's your life and the way that you live it. You see? And that's getting back to yourself. We've been a long time away from self.
Right.
And so now we're on a journey of getting back to ourselves. So what we learned today from our beloved leader, teacher, and guide who learned from God, we pass down to our children.
That's right.
And in order to do that, you know, the scripture says, honor thy mother and thy father.
Right.
Honor them. Man.
That's right.
The children we raise, they don't know nothing about honoring their mother and their father. Huh?
Right.
That they days may be longer up on this earth.
That's right.
Thus saith the Lord thy God. You understand what I'm saying?
That was a decree.
And that's through generations. We don't even identify anymore generationally.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is associated with it is so painful, so traumatic, that we did everything we could to get away from it. It was made that way so that we wouldn't seek it.
Mm-hmm.
It was made that way so we wouldn't seek it. So anybody brought it to us, it would be like they had COVID. We would get away from them as fast as possible.
Yep.
And a tag would be put on them.
Yep.
If you want to know the science of war, where are you to learn that from? Do you seriously think that this society is going to teach you that? Teach others? Come on, man.
Yep. Of which we are going to talk about warfare next week. And I want us to look not so far, so much into the physical. We know what that's about. The deal is, man, what about the spiritual and the mental side of war? What is that all about? And warfare and how you can use the knowledge of that to go to war within yourself, the evil within yourself is there. I think we probably talked about that off air. Talking about like the in the little kid, the demon from within.
Let me say on that, brother? Please forgive me for interrupting. If you want to learn about warfare, you need not go no further than your own self.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely where we're going.
You need to study. I'm saying.
Go ahead.
You need to study.
Yep.
What is most talked about today in the greatest war that is taking place on the face of the earth. You need to study your own immune system.
Right.
Listen to me good. You want to know about war? Study your own immune system, for there has been no greater warrior and still is now. No greater warrior on the planet Earth than you, and it is simply because of your immune system, both inside and out.
Right. Right, and that's why I say, because, you know, because when you talk about war, most folks thinking of the artilleries and all this stuff in the launch.
We're gonna
be talking from high levels. That's the reason why, you know, because we can attack the subject from three levels, spiritual, mental, and physical. You know what I'm saying? But and we ain't gonna waste our time. Talking about what General Sherman did and all this bull crap here. We ain't looking at that type of war. Warfare, we don't have to. We already know that that is final. You know what I'm saying? That's a final thing. But what is this spiritual war? What is the, you know, all of it, like the scripture say, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God. Well, what about, like brother said, what about the first war? Because you have to have a defense. And one thing about what the God did with this magnificent body of us, it's full of backup. You know what I'm saying? It's full of, what you call it, brother? It's full of safety valves and all kinds of stuff going on in the inside. But we're going to talk about that.
I say this. Of all of the enemies of us,
right,
that has tried to destroy us, every last one that is tried to do that, not
right,
one has been successful. Not, and when I
not
say that,
one.
Not one.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to the beginning. And when I go back to the beginning, I'm saying not virus, not
yep,
bacteria,
yeah,
not parasite.
Right.
No microbes.
No microbes.
Have been able, yes.
Yeah.
They just need to study it. Have been able to bring us down.
Right.
So if you want to know about war and the greatest war that is found in the universe, study yourself, black man and woman.
That's right. That's right. Everybody, we down to 1 minute and 30 seconds, which is approximately 90 seconds. And I also want to make mention of this, too, since we're talking about occupation. Let's come up to our day and time now. Master Farad Muhammad, God in person, a salesman. So you mean tell me if a God has to have an occupation? Of course. Do you think a God would be walking amongst us and don't partake in an automobile? You know how far. And how hot things shoot a God would get in a car in a minute. God would get on a boat in a minute. And God would comfortable in an air conditioner. The hell y'all think is real? Everything is real. Everything is real. Look, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a general labor, like most of us. He was engaged in general labor when he joined on into the Nation of Islam, taking on odd jobs. Minister Louis Farrakhan, he was a musician, but the minister also was a general laborer, doing odd jobs. Then he became a minister. That's his occupation. Now, so is it over now? Oh, I'm enjoying this, man. Look like Blog Talk getting ready to cut us off. You know, we only do 2 hours, and I think we gave enough, brother, and to let the people know, man. Look, man, we don't get mad. You don't have to. These conditions out here is showing us that it's time for something different. Don't get mad at us. Just look at us, you know, see us as pre-emotion. That was a good cough syrup back then. We're going to get something good. Brother Wiley probably, you know, probably giving out a brown sugar ice, you know, sugar cube for you to put in your mouth and suck down. But we love y'all, man, and we ain't coming to be browbeating nobody because we came up out of hell as well. So we
talk
to you all next week. Peace.
All right. Peace.